And welcome to Odyssey. This is a metaphysical show. We talk about ancient mysteries and all types of metaphysical topics and unfiltered non-corporate news of the day. We have a fantastic guest today. His name is Matt Kahn. He's from Seattle. He's a channeler and a psychic, and he has wonderful messages that he is going to share with us today. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks, Mike, for having me.
Okay, great. Now, first off, your website's called themessengeronline.com, and we want everyone to get over there and read all about Matt. I've been looking at kind of how you started with all of this, and I understand you started automatic writing at an early age. Can you tell me about the messages that you received?
Yeah, well, first of all, the way I became activated to the awareness of the universe, to the ascended masters and archangels that I've been working with most of my life. So when I was 8 years old, I had an out-of-body experience and meeting my first master guide, Jesus, and then being introduced to the guides that would appear around me at a very young age. And through me, I would start writing pearls of wisdom and things that would begin to unlock the answers to the questions I had as a child, wondering, you know, what really is out there? What is all of this? And I found that some of the answers that I would provide myself not only would take me in a very different direction than I thought, but as I would reread what I would write, there would be such a feeling, a presence of love in those answers that would allow me to understand the deepest truth in those words, and even beyond the words, it was a feeling in the words that was the answer that I didn't know I was looking for.
That's wonderful. Now, you talk about you've had a few activations in your life, I believe at age 8, 18, and 28. Can you tell me about those?
Yeah, at age 8, I had the out-of-body experience and met Jesus, and from them I had the awareness of the Ascended Masters surrounding me at all times, walking with me. At age 18, they began to speak to me beyond the writings that I would do. And at 28, I went through another series of activations, and these activations were almost like aligning the antenna of my crown chakra so that I could receive the transmission of these energies, of these deeper vibrations of wisdom, and then being able to transfer those vibrations of wisdom through the spoken word and through energetic transmissions to audiences and to clients that I work with worldwide.
Okay, now let's talk about the Ascended Masters who you're in contact with. Why don't we kind of go through them one by one? Let's start with Saint Germain. Now, I've done some research into Saint Germain, and wasn't he an actual person who was kind of a spiritual teacher in Europe in the 1700s?
Yeah, I believe so. I actually, in part of my journey and process, I've actually kept myself from looking into a lot of information on the Ascended Masters, other than when I get information from them. I'll Google the information and look just to kind of confirm what I'm getting, just so that I can remain as unfiltered as a channel as possible. So, you know, my job is to be able to be as clear in my mind and to be in a practice of silence so that I can bring through not only the messages and the words, but the energy of the Ascended Masters. And I find that sometimes if I have a knowing in my mind of information, it tends to taint or filter what's coming through from that source.
Well, that makes sense. So tell me about Saint Germain. What kinds of messages is he sending out to humanity?
Saint Germain is sending out energy and messages of as far as all the Ascended Masters, of pure love. But I think that Saint Germain really sends out messages of really empowerment, of really being able to love yourself enough to develop the courage to express it emotionally. And I think that Saint Germain is really one of those guys that helps to assemble all that love within your consciousness and lead it out to humanity. And it's almost as if I almost see Saint Germain as being the general of an army, but it's an army of love, of compassion, and of oneness. And I feel as though sometimes Saint Germain is that general who's leading the army of oneness to bring this new energy of harmony to this world of separation, you know, to this paradigm that is shifting into oneness.
I see. Now let's talk about some of the archangels of the Bible. I know Doreen Virtue's written books about the archangels Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, and Raphael. Can you talk about them?
Yeah, the archangels are a very, very interesting energy, because whenever I tune the energy of the archangels, it's such a divine presence. It's as if when I'm feeling, you know, filling my body with the energy of the archangels, everything around me becomes absolutely still. And they're just such a loving and divine energy that whenever I'm communicating with the archangels, they're almost reminding me of all of the amazing things and all of the loving perspectives that they find as they witness and they watch all of humanity. So it's almost as if I'm talking to an archangel about something in the world, their only response is what they love about it. Observing the reflection of the universe itself in that moment of unfolding creation. And so I think that the archangel energy is not only here to support and assist us, to support and assist us with the love and the support so that we can give ourselves the courage to feel the emotions that we can unblock and release so that we can have ourselves, you know, an experience of emotional freedom. But being able to remind us that it is a perspective of love that we can have in finding the gifts of every moment.
I see. Now, can all of us out in the audience, can we directly call upon the archangels to help us?
Absolutely. I think the greatest and the simplest way to call upon archangels and ascended masters in our consciousness is to really primarily have a very certain intention. I think sometimes in our language, we frame things in a way that creates just that sense of separation, because sometimes it's all that we've known. We sometimes say, I'd like the assistance of an archangel. And we have to remember that the universe itself, the energy of the ascended masters and archangels that are outside the third dimension, operate in a very direct and in positive affirmations and energy. So that means that we have to command it very directly. So if I wish to speak to Archangel Michael, you know, I request Archangel Michael now. That now brings it without time into this present moment, and then it is directly in my energy field. And then as I welcome in the energy of an archangel, I immediately slow my breath down. I take deep, slow breaths in, deep, slow breaths out. And what the deep, slow breathing does is it actually begins to tune down the volume of my ego so that I might be able to hear the messages of the archangel. And it also opens up my heart so that I can be able to feel the energy of the archangel before any of that energy is translated into the words that might be the messages that I'm looking for.
That's wonderful. And now, you have a fantastic website. We'll pause for a moment from talking about the Ascended Masters, and why don't you tell us about it?
At themessengeronline.com, it's a resource website where we have a lot of channel transmissions. We have a lot of, you know, testimonials that are given to us from people we've worked with, and we have a lot of information on my path and how I've come to be. And it really just provides people with a chance to connect with the energy of the Ascended Masters through the written and the spoken word. And it's just, it's been a lifelong journey for me. So this website has really just kind of been a celebration of my journey as I've gone from being this child who wasn't really sure what this world was, and allowed all of those answers to be provided to me with these experiences of connecting to the love that words loosely can express. And I think that for all of us, we're all in this world as children evolving spiritually, trying to understand what all this is. And I think that the divine message of the Ascended Masters and Archangels collectively is, no matter what we think this is, no matter what we understand it to be, it is just our unique and individual expression of being able to define what it is to each of us, what love feels like. And so this is really all about love. And love really is all that ever really exists and will ever exist. And I think that's what the website expresses through the various meanings and through the various writings that are provided.
Absolutely. Now, it's really exciting to see you live, and you're really traveling a lot, and you have appearances listed on your website. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, on the website, we have a lot of appearances of our upcoming speaking engagements. We've, you know, recently did a tour of Los Angeles and Sacramento. We're in Seattle this week, and soon we're going to be in Vancouver, British Columbia, and then we're going to be in Arizona. And we're really just traveling all over, because we find that there are people everywhere that are being activated and open to these newer energies. And when there are people around the world that are open to newer possibilities, but they aren't necessarily understanding how that process works, then we wish to be their tour guide so that we can make their experience a much more fulfilling one. I think when people understand the possibilities and understand the different processes and tools that can allow that to be so possible, then it becomes exciting. And I think that doubt is something that often gets in the way, because we're just in this realm of spirituality trying on a new pair of shoes. And I just wish to be that tour guide that helps people understand what I've been able to experience, because my experiences have been so profound, I only wish to share it with the world.
Absolutely. Now let's go back to the Ascended Masters. There's another entity called Melchizedek, and thousands of us have read a book about sacred geometry and the flower of life. Is this the same entity talking about sacred geometry?
I always have associated sacred geometry with an archangel named Metatron, and whenever I have ever tuned into sacred geometry, or whenever I work with a client, and I go into their energy field, and their energy field is surrounded by sacred geometry, it's a symbol and lets me know that Metatron is there. And I was actually working with a client last week, and I saw a field of sacred geometry surrounding her aura, and I said, oh, you work with Metatron. And she it's got all 80. Oh my God, yeah, I do. So I always associate sacred geometry with Metatron. Melchizedek is actually my main guy. He's of the Ascended Masters. I work with him probably most often. I speak with Melchizedek every single day, and he has been the one that has taught me most of what I know, despite there being an array of Ascended Masters there. And I understand Melchizedek just to be, you know, the teacher of the Christ consciousness. And he's just such a loving and peaceful being, and also such an interesting, funny sense of humor.
Right. Do they ever touch on kind of current events of the day? I mean, there's so much turmoil in the Middle East. Is that ever going to end? And what's the purpose of all of this?
Well, when I speak to the Ascended Masters, they only speak to me in terms of the perspective of watching the unfolding of our reality outside the third dimension. And so we're watching this as really energies resolving themselves. We're really watching that the manifestations of things that we see, the manifestations of war, are just energies of lower vibrations playing themselves out. And not really what happens around the world, what's happening in our Earth, is just a bigger version of what's happening emotionally within each of us. That is, in each of us, these stagnant emotional blockages are being brought to the surface and are being expressed like a volcano. That these explosions of energies are being done so, so that we can clear these blockages to make more room for the light that is being brought to the planet. And in the same way, Earth is absorbing the new light brought to the planet, but it has to resolve. It has to release all these emotional blockages that it has absorbed from all of our, you know, paradigms and from all of our choices, from the manifestations of choices that have led to, you know, war and oppression, and really the oppression of the divine feminine archetype. And as that comes back into a balance, some of that over-emasculated male energy has to purge itself so that Earth has the room to sustain and balance itself with this newer energy. So when I speak to the Ascended Masters, they're speaking to me in terms of watching this energy resolve itself in the joyful celebration of what newer energy is being brought to the planet. And if you watch a war, if you watch the manifestation of a war, even something that we would perceive as something negative like a war, people are losing their lives and people are being treated unfairly. That manifests itself, and around the world there are people coming together, and instead of the focus and pursuit of their own individual financial gain, we are rallying together the support to express our abundance for the common goal of helping humanity. So even in a moment where we're thinking things are so dismal and so unconscious, the most unconscious of actions will always manifest something of greater consciousness, because every manifestation is sown from the fabric of light or pure love. And that's what they teach me, and that's what we focus on.
Well, that's wonderful. I want to remind people to go to themessengeronline.com to read all about Matt. Let's go ahead and talk about Jesus Christ. He's one of the archangels and ascended masters who you're speaking with. Does he feel that he was accurately portrayed in the Bible? And what is his message to you now?
I had a client once that kept asking me questions about the Bible, and I've never in my life really read or, you know, gotten into biblical teaching. And it was very funny because I would ask him these questions when I was in a session. And he had this smile on his face, and the smile was kind of articulating in words in my head. He basically said, whatever this person thinks I did, I must have done. Meaning, if you think I did this, I guess I did. If you think I did this, I guess I did. Because it's coming from a place of such acceptance. And really, the kind of humor of the archangels and the ascended masters is being able to provide pure consciousness, but outside the realm of content. And the ideas of the Bible are really expressing an idea of content. And content, you know, is the manifestation of our compelling ability to create. But we really are creating our own reality. So the idea of Jesus is that Jesus is the embodiment of the pure love, and what happens when we are able to use everything within our body, our conditioning, our thoughts, our behaviors, and when we're able to donate it as a sacred offering to the divine force of love itself, so that all of our cells and all of our atoms are the pure expression of love, the pure expression of universal truth. And so in that universal truth, whatever I'll ask of Jesus about those stories, Jesus will agree and say, if you think that's what it happened, I guess it did. And it's kind of a humorous approach, but there really is no attachment to a lot of the varying stories, because to the archangels, to the ascended masters, these are just focuses. These are just choices we are making that keep us in this moment from connecting with the love that can fulfill and heal ourselves and help to heal the planet simultaneously.
I see. So, but does say that he came down to Earth for a period of time and performed miracles and taught people and then died on the cross?
Well, the miracles that he talks of are really just the expression of being a human being, expressing the divine truth of the universe. That really that our natural state is to be this pure light, and our natural state is to be able to express things that to a human being we would call miracles, because before Jesus came to the earth, a lot of human beings weren't readily recognizing these type of behaviors or activities. But if the world were filled with people with the awareness of Jesus and consciousness, then we really wouldn't call it a miracle, because it would be what everyone is available to do. So I think that our ability to use our egos to identify says, if no one on the planet has been doing this, and this person does this, and then it seems significant, and that significance creates what we call a miracle. But really, I think Jesus is performing these things to demonstrate what is our natural state of consciousness when we allow our emotional expression as human beings to be that of expressing divine truth and divine love.
I see. Now, what are the Ascended Masters telling you about UFOs? Are they supposed to be showing themselves and revealing themselves to us more and more? How is that working?
Yeah, what I've always understood about UFOs is to be obviously civilizations of higher consciousness, but I've always been taught about UFOs as just being the civilizations of the other dimensions that currently seem invisible to us, because the attachments we have to our egoic personalities and to that kind of struggle of mass consciousness, to that story that we keep remembering every single moment and projecting out towards us as a reality, that keeps us in a limited state of awareness, that keeps those types of dimensions from being visible. And as we free ourselves from the thinking machine known as the mind, as we silence the volume on the narrator known as the ego, then all of a sudden the mind becomes empty enough, the heart becomes open to shine a light into the galaxies and to be able to see what has always been visible. It's like if you look out in your house or in whatever space you're at, the empty space around you is not empty. It's just filled with the manifestation of those things you haven't been taught are there yet. And that's how I've been taught about UFOs. They're just the civilizations of those dimensions that we have not yet discovered, because we're using our eyes to see versus our hearts. And when our hearts become the eyes that we look through versus our eyes that are attached to our brains, and our brains are using our egos to narrate a story, then we will be able to see more of what has always been there.
I see. Now let's talk about the year 2012. The metaphysical community has all sorts of points of view about what we're leading up to in 2012. What is your take on that?
The idea of 2012 is we have to first understand that the idea of 2012 is just a point of reference, because we're still determining something through a concept of linear time, which we have to understand is our creation. So assuming that we're just going to kind of go with that thought so that the brain is able to process this easier, that when 2012 occurs, it would be the time when mass consciousness would be more readily available to collectively manifest something of the opposite vibration of what we're currently manifesting, what we've been manifesting. If you look at the mass consciousness, most of mass consciousness is being hypnotized by the headlines of what we're being fed in the news and of what we're really feeding each other. And that keeps us practicing this emotional space, which helps to suggest to our point of view that in every moment I'm going to practice feeling this place of disconnectedness. My point of view is going to find me something in every moment that confirms why I have the right to feel that. So 2012 is just the amount of time or the amount of moments it will take the world to shift into a place to where more people on the planet will be in a place of accepting and holding that awareness of light that a small portion of the world right now is preparing. And so it is as if in the same place right now as the world sees and focuses on the limitations of war, the disparaging results of hurricanes, and we're all focused on what damage is being done. By 2012, it's just a point of reference that shows when the world will be ready to collectively see something entirely new, which is just being able to welcome in the higher vibrations, seeing those higher vibrations through the eyes within our hearts versus the stories in our minds.
I see. And we're talking with Matt Kahn today. He's a gifted channeler and psychic from Seattle, and you can find out more about him at themessengeronline.com. Okay, what I want to talk about next is we've all read a lot of books by John Edwards and Sylvia Brown, and they talk about life on the other side. and how this astral plane is very similar to the earth plane, but it's a place of peacefulness and rest and study. What do you feel about this?
Well, it's interesting. We were just talking about 2012 or the idea of ascension. We talk about the other, you know, the astral planes being very similar to this, but of being peaceful and loving. And I almost think of that what we are ascending to is what the other side already is. Meaning what we're ascending to is creating a bridge to allow this earth to be a manifestation of that oneness that our loved ones experience on the other side. Because what happens is that we come to this earth to learn our lessons and to be able to grow in consciousness. But oftentimes we're so distracted with the level of freedom that we're given that we can't ever make a choice because we're so fixated on worrying if I'm making the right choice, and if I make this choice, what am I leaving myself out from experiencing? And so that's that limited level of awareness that can't grow with the distraction of freedom. But oftentimes when we cross over into that different realm, we can then go and continue our spiritual work without those distractions, without the distractions of the emotions that we keep expressing from the conditions of our history, of our childhood. And so in that other realm, it is very similar to what we experience. It's just in a vibration of oneness. There is no perception of separation. It is all one, all is peaceful, all is loving. But at the same time, there is no body to experience emotionally what we as humans would perceive that would feel like. We as humans think, oh, peaceful and loving. And we immediately get this tingle in our heart and we feel like how relaxed that would be. But there is no body over there to be able to express that through our emotions. And if everything on that other realm is peaceful and loving, that becomes a sensation you experience when you first go over there, but it becomes very constant. Here on Earth, we have the amazing opportunity to experience bliss and ecstasy, because there are many moments when we don't perceive bliss and ecstasy, and when there's something not a polarity to compare bliss and ecstasy to, bliss and ecstasy lose that vibration or lose that emotional charge. So I think that is blissful and amazing as that other realm is where our loved one is, you know, where they are. And it is an amazing place. But that amazing place is also right here. It's just we have to allow our ability to determine emotional freedom or to find emotional freedom to really experience that in the body, because in the body is where feelings are, where the senses are. And that's just something that isn't available over there. There's just the knowing of it. And the knowing of it is spectacular. But the feeling of it is something equally spectacular that is available to each of us right now.
You know, it's true. We have so much freedom here and so many distractions. And I'm a tarot card reader. And the number one question people ask is, I just don't know which way to go or what I should be doing with my life.
Right.
So I know that you offer, like, these soul readings, and you can really help people navigate a path. Why don't you tell about the services you offer in regards to soul readings and what they are and the Akashic records?
Absolutely. Before I go into that, I want to answer that question that you kind of offered of what people ask when they say, I don't know which way to go. And I will offer people a little bit of a clue, a hint that the universe is always providing us, and that is no matter what direction you are facing, no matter which direction you step forward onto, every step forward is only the right direction, depending on what emotion you are expressing through your heart. If you are expressing connectedness and peace in your body, every step forward is the right direction. If you then step forward in a place of disconnectedness, distracted by the story that your mind is expressing through the ego, then that becomes the wrong direction. So it's not which direction is right. It's what feeling can I feel in my body to express through my emotions connectedness that allows every direction to be right on this landscape of heaven on earth.
That makes sense. So if people want to come to you for a soul reading, what kind of information would you provide to them?
What I've been activated to provide people is that in a soul reading, I am able to provide people an understanding as to why they're here, why some of the things that I am able to discover in their chakras, you know, the chakras store the repressed emotional energy from the various experiences of our history, which creates a conditioning that our ego narrates to us as we try to navigate a path forward, practicing what it's like to be this newer version of us we've never really been. So I'm able to provide people an understanding of why they're here, of why some of the things in their lives happen, so that they can be able to understand and accept the wisdom that hasn't been provided to them, so that they can free those blockages of emotional barriers that begin to stagnate and harden in the physical body, and then being able to help them, you know, provide them with tools to integrate these newer concepts to become the newer version of them who already exist in our perception of the future. And so whether it's helping people to manifest and activate themselves into the most current version of who they are, whether it's letting go of the history of who they've been, whether it's integrating and taking the energy and diffusing the energy from a very volatile or emotional situation of childhood or in a romantic situation, whatever it is, it's clearing out the emotional space in the chakras so that someone has the opportunity to have the most open space to fill with the newer vibrations of love as they expand their awareness to understand the wisdom that they're here to understand. And for most of us, there's that ego in our mind that says, until someone can let me know and give me a great reason as to why this had to happen to me, I'm not willing to understand or accept anything other than that. And so we all kind of walk around unconsciously having these ego tantrums because we're still waiting for someone to give us a valid reason as to why we had to feel that. And of course, as children, we're the most open and sensitive to energy, but the least aware. So we develop these egos as protective mechanisms because as children, we only wish to feel the most intense amount of love. And oftentimes we're feeling something that isn't of that pure vibration.
Some people have had traumatic experiences in past lifetimes. Maybe they fell off a cliff or they were raped or something. Can you help them get over that?
Absolutely. Through the work in the Akashic Records, and the Akashic Records is basically a library that was introduced to me in the higher dimensions where the contract of all of our lifetimes exists. And when someone has come to me and is ready to integrate something or when someone is wanting to heal themselves, oftentimes we'll go to this hallway of records and we'll look up in these records what current situation or what past lifetimes are really coming to the surface for them to be able to integrate. Whenever we have a feeling that is not of connectedness, it is because we are really just about to discover some deeper wisdom that will help us to grow and expand to being all we've really come to this planet to be. And oftentimes what we've experienced in this current lifetime are slightly different, but of the same emotional pattern of things in our past lives, and that we repeat things from our past lives because we're meant to bring into our awareness those lessons and wisdom that we had learned before. So by letting go of the memory, by letting go of the experience that had to happen in order to bring us to the wisdom, we can just embody the wisdom that allows us to be the most aware we could ever be, which gives us the permission, the freedom, and the courage to express through our emotional freedom the love and light of the universe. And so it is my ability to work with the Ascended Masters to access the Akashic Records, to sign off on the contract that will resolve and release these stagnant blocks of energies in the chakras and allow the person the freedom and the space to then practice what it's like to feel other emotions so they can begin to master those positive emotions and express themselves emotionally through the, you know, through the connectedness of love.
Absolutely. We're winding down the interview. One more question, and then I'll have you talk about your website one last time.
Sure.
There's a lot of talk about the Abraham tapes, and you know, some of us, we have a negative voice in our head all day long that is giving us negative messages. I mean, how can we get over this and be more abundant?
I will share with you one of some of the most brilliant messages that the universe, between the Ascended Masters, have ever shared with me. Because my entire life, I fought negative thoughts in my head. My mind would say negative things, and I would fight it, thinking that as long as I fight it, I am expressing my voice in the name of consciousness. And as great as that intention was for me, as much as I was intending to do good with that, I was actually programming myself to actually remain in emotional conflict. The ego will tell you, if you have a negative thought in your head, that if you accept it, then that means you like it. If you like it, maybe the universe will think, oh, they like it. We'll keep this active in their mind, and then the universe will walk away and we'll be stuck forever filled with this feeling that we really don't like. And that's the ego perspective. But from a higher perspective, the Ascended Masters urge us to accept everything we feel, because a feeling is just information being provided to us from our higher self. If we feel a positive feeling, our higher self is telling us, congratulations, you're in alignment to embody the universal love in this moment, which allows you to find the wisdom you're here to find. If you have a negative feeling, that's what the universe is saying. We, through your higher self, are bringing you this negative feeling to get your attention, because whatever you're distracted by, whatever story you're immersed in, is keeping you out of the alignment of embodying the love of the universe that allows you to find the wisdom in this moment, and it allows you to keep being distracted by you know, the conditioning of your ego. And when we have negative thoughts in our head, we are urged also to accept those thoughts. Because if you accept a negative thought, what you're doing is you're diffusing your body's ability to remain in emotional conflict. And if you're not in emotional conflict, your body is simply in a place of peace and love. And as long as your body is in a place of peace and love, a thought, a negative thought, cannot harvest itself. It cannot mature in an environment of opposing vibration. So a negative thought pops in your mind, and you simply say, how wonderful, I accept that thought. I accept that my ego had that thought. I accept that it's true to a previous part of me, and I accept that that thought actually occurred. And yet I don't feed it with resistance, because if I have resistance in my body, I create a space and a pocket for which that negative vibration can find its own energetic charge in my body, and then it grows and festers and can then manifest in my outside reality. But if these negative thoughts pop in my mind, and all it's being met with is an embodiment of oneness and wholeness, it has to immediately evaporate, because it cannot sustain life in a level of consciousness that it hasn't even accepted. I mean, it's kind of a deep thought, but the idea is that if you think of negative thoughts as being almost like cockroaches, and you think of the embodiment of peace as being like light, every time you flip on the light, these cockroaches tend to scatter. And so that's how we're being urged to look at this, is to really accept what you feel, because your feelings are messages from your higher self, and accept all of your thoughts, because as long as you accept your thoughts, you're neutralizing the ability for your body to be in conflict. And emotional conflict is the first level of how to begin to perceive conflict outside of you in the world. And when you stay in internal peace, when you stay in that place of acceptance, you're able to open your heart and find how in every thought, in every action, is that energy of love, of consciousness, simply manifesting itself through various perspectives.
That makes a lot of sense. We're going to wind up today. I'll just kind of throw out kind of a fun question. After all of this deep spiritual work, what do you do, Matt, just for fun, just to relax and unwind?
To relax and unwind.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of stand-up comedy.
Uh-huh.
I like to watch movies. I like to, I'm now just recently getting into nature. I've been raised in Los Angeles my whole life. I've been a kid who lived my whole life in malls and arcades, and I'm just now getting into nature. I really enjoy spending a lot of time meditating, aside from, you know, the stand-up comedy and going out with my friends and doing a lot of social things, I really do find a lot of pure joy of being in absolute silence. Mm-hmm. And of being someone my whole life that has always been inundated with MTV and Nintendo and these types of things. I never in a million years would have ever thought that being in a place of silence would be anything other than excruciating or agonizing. And I will tell you,
right,
that when I was able to just say, okay, let me just try this, and I sat, and I sat for 45 minutes, and at the 45-minute mark, there was an explosion in my mind, and that explosion was of pure love.
Wow.
And that became the moment where I began to live my life in meditation, because I thought, I don't want to live my life missing this and then distracting myself with that loss and not being present in my life. So that became the moment where I decided I will live in meditation. I will walk in meditation, and I will only express love, and I will only be able to express and offer all of myself to love through the practice of no thought in my mind whatsoever. So it is that ability to be completely empty that has given me my greatest joy.
That's a great way to unwind. Well, I appreciate you speaking with us today. It's wonderful knowledge. And let's all go to your website at themessengeronline.com. Thank you, Matt, for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. So that was Matt Kahn from Seattle, a channeler and psychic. And he is available for soul readings. If you want to find out your life's path and life's journey, go to themessengeronline.com. And of course, this radio show will be available for archiving. So anyway, I'm going to tell you a bit more about myself and my DVD, The Sands of Time, for 5 or 10 minutes, and then we will have a Reiki master on the show in about 10 minutes. So my name is Mike Schultz, and I'm the host of the Odyssey radio show. And my website is fountainsofyouth.net. That's plural. Fountainsofyouth.net, plural. And I'm a tarot card reader. I do similar work to what Matt does. I help people kind of find their path, and if they're at a crossroads, and I help them make the correct decision so they don't waste their time, so that they are able to reach their goals easier. I read over the phone nationwide. I do phone readings for a much lower price than a lot of the psychic lines. But for instance, if someone comes to me and they say, "Oh, I really want to go to medical school," and I'll say, "Well, wow, that's 4 years of your life. That's a really big decision. Why don't we look at the cards and let's see what your spirit guides are saying, and is this really right for you? Should you really be going to medical school? And let's find out the real reasons why you want to go." And we kind of look at it through many different angles. And I always encourage people to base big decisions not just on a tarot reading, but on lots of different areas of your life. I mean, talk to your friends, talk to your counselors, do research, get a reading, go to psychics, talk to your family, and then gather all this information, and then you can make these big life decisions. It will be clear after you do the homework and the research. So I would love to read for any of you in the audience over the phone. I'm at fountainsofyouth.net. And like I said, now we'll go into talking about my DVD, The Sands of Time. I was encouraged by my spirit guides through my tarot readings to create this DVD. And it's about ancient mysteries. There are really six distinct, sophisticated societies that sprang up overnight. Of course, we know of Egypt and the pyramids, and this was much more advanced technology than was found at the time. Most of our distant ancestors were living in caves or huts, or they were hunter-gatherer tribes, and then all of a sudden we have these giant pyramids in Egypt. It was way ahead of its time. It doesn't make sense. And my DVD, The Sands of Time, really digs into these ancient mysteries. And the pyramids were built all around the world, actually. They were built in Mexico, in South America, in Egypt, in Sumeria, or modern-day Iraq, in China, and India. And so I have a slideshow and pictures from all around the world where you can see these amazing ruins that are still there. You can still go see them. And also places like Stonehenge and Easter Island, these mammoth, giant blocks of stone. And I really believe that ancient advanced technology was used to carve out these stones and place them at Easter Island and Stonehenge and Baalbek and Tiwanaku in South America, and Machu Picchu, which you may know about. That's where Shirley MacLaine visited in her book, Out on a Limb. And there's giant mammoth blocks of stone that weigh 50 or 100 tons at the top of these mountains in Machu Picchu. But there's no stone quarry on top of the mountains. So somehow these mammoth blocks had to get to the top of mountains. And of course, you can't lift them with a group of people. It's just impossible. So I really encourage you to buy this DVD, The Sands of Time. It's only $14 plus $2 shipping. And you can pick it up and read a much more detailed description at fountainsofyouth.net. That's fountainsofyouth.net. You can find out a bit more about me, my biography, my tarot readings, and my new DVD, The Sands of Time, at fountainsofyouth.net. So Lewis will be joining us any moment, Lewis Vargas from Portland, Oregon. He is a certified Reiki master, and we're going to learn all about Reiki. It's spelled R-E-I-K-I. And in the meantime, I touch on politics now and then in my show, and unfiltered non-corporate news of the day. And there was a really important article that flashed across the net just yesterday, and I want to tell all of you about it. The former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, you may know him. He was a celebrity wrestler for a while, then became a governor. He's come forward with a pretty amazing interview on Infowars.com. That's Infowars.com. And he believes that 911 may have been an inside job, that our government may have been involved in it, that he studied the Operations Northwoods, which was a military event in the 1960s where our own government was going to shoot down planes with Americans on them. And he he talks about the Gulf of Tonkin in Vietnam and how that was also a staged event. Documents have been released recently to indicate that the Gulf of Tonkin was a staged event. So please go to Infowars.com and read this interview with Jesse Ventura. He's really disturbed that we had almost no response from NORAD. Those were the planes that we send up to scramble jets, to intercept hijackers. We have a system that's been in place for decades, and we can easily intercept hijackers, but it was not done that day on 911, of course. So Jesse is the latest prominent figure to come forward and question 911, and of course we know the celebrity Charlie Sheen questioned it publicly 4 or 5 months ago, and that caused quite a stir. So the dance floor is getting crowded. More and more people are questioning the official story and calling for an independent investigation to find out what actually happened that day. Many, many people believe that those buildings came down by demolition and that the people have examined the photographs of the Pentagon, and the hole is very small. There's not a lot of debris. There's no luggage or any of the remnants of a large plane crash on the Pentagon lawn, and it's all very disturbing and secretive. So a lot of us are really calling for an independent investigation. So check out that interview with former Governor Jesse Ventura at Infowars.com. And any moment now, Lewis will be joining us. In the meantime, we'll talk about a few more news stories of the day.
Lewis is on the air.
Okay, Lewis is on. Hello, Lewis.
Hi.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, speak way up because we're on the radio.
Okay.
Okay, this is Lewis Vargas. He's from Portland, Oregon, as I am, and he's a friend of mine, and he's a Reiki master, and I've had a couple Reiki sessions with him, and it gave me a lot of energy, and welcome to the show, Lewis.
Thank you.
Now, I understand, first of all, let's start with the word Reiki. I understand it's a Japanese word. Why don't you tell us what it means?
Well, Reiki is basically just universal life force energy. It's the ability to channel universal life force energy using your hands and your chakras and your whole body as a channel of that energy. And it's a Japanese word because in the mid-1800s, Dr. Ushui Makao, who was a principal of a university in Kyoto, Japan, rediscovered this technique. But the technique itself is about 3 or 5,000 years old.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple different levels of training, or 3 degrees of training. Why don't you tell me what is involved in the training and how much you have done?
And how much what? Sorry?
How much you have been trained.
No. Well, there are 3 different levels. Reiki 1 is basically an introduction to the system, and it teaches you first how to do healing on yourself, how to position your hands in different parts of your body to cleanse your aura and your chakras and things like that. The second level is where some of the symbols come into place, and the student is taught how to use the symbols and what they're for and when to use what combinations and whatnot. The third degree is what allows you to teach Reiki and get people certified, which involves an attunement that where the symbols are placed in different parts of your aura and your body to open the channel of the vertical current on your back of your spine, so that you can channel the energy a lot easier. It's a gift that we all have, but the attunements just help you to clear the channel so you can channel more energy at a time.
I see. So have you gone through all 3 levels of training?
Yes.
Really? So you teach others how to do it?
Yes. And I personally combine it with breathing exercises, visualizations, and body awareness exercises, which brings it to a quantum level, and it's a lot more effective that way.
I see. So let's talk about what a person does. They usually lay down on a massage table, correct? And do you actually touch them, or your hands go near them?
The physical touch is very, very important. It's actually proven that in hospitals where little babies are, in there because they're sick, if they're not touched or even out of the hospitals, if their mom don't touch them, the kids tend to be more angry. They tend to be more violent as if people touch them more. So as a Reiki master, I believe in the importance of touch. Yeah, there are certain areas like in your forehead, in your throat, in your chest, and your stomach where the hands are laid so that you can channel that energy and bring a lot of emotional healing. Reiki works a lot in emotions. You can find information about Reiki at my website, which is magicalpathways.com.
You have an excellent website with a lot of good information on it.
Thank you.
So is a session about an hour, and how do you know when there's a blockage of energy? What do you feel?
Usually, the guides are the ones that tell you where to work, because every time you get a Reiki attunement, a guide is assigned to you to help you discover this fascinating technique. So in many occasions, for example, I've felt that people had problems with their ears, and a lot of times the guys told me that it was because they suffer from verbal abuse, which then at the end of the session I ask, and all the times have been right. Sometimes I just feel that they have problems with their stomach, and it's because they're having relationship problems and things like that. It's very intuitive. Once you get the attunements, your third eye opens a lot, so you can see and hear spiritual advice a lot better.
I see. Now, how can a person know if their chakras are in balance or out of balance, and when they should go for a Reiki treatment to work with the chakras?
One of the things that is important is to pay attention to what area in your body is being affected. For example, people who suffer from like sore throats or lymph nodes problems or strep throats and stuff like that, it's because they're not speaking their truth, their personal truth. There's something that they're not saying, that they're not communicating, which then causes the chakra to be blocked. A lot of times if your head hurts a lot, that's because your third eye is closed. If you have problems with your stomach, it's because your second chakra is closed. So it's just the area of the body that is affected. That's how you would know which chakra it needs to be cleansed and worked on.
I see. So after people have Reiki sessions, what do they tell you? That they have increased energy, or they feel more relaxed, or what are the benefits?
Both. They usually report to feel very light, very relaxed. Some other people report to feel very charged. There are sessions where people get very emotional and cry, and there's a lot of emotional healing happening. Sometimes past life things come up, or things from the past come up, and they feel that they're regenerated. There are testimonials also on my website under the Who Am I section and magicalpathways.com as of what the results are for this kind of treatment.
Yeah, the website is magicalpathways.com, and Lewis is in Portland if anyone is up in the Northwest and they want to schedule a session with him. I had a session with you, and I mean, I can't really put it into words. I just know that I felt a lot better afterwards.
Yeah, and there are visions that people sometimes have, it's definitely the best gift that anyone could ever have. One of the best experiences that I've ever had was my first Reiki session as well. There is a lot of healing, a lot of wisdom happening, a lot of love, because that's what it is. Reiki is love. If you think about universal life force energy and what it entails, it's basically just the loving force of God working through your body to heal the other person.
I see. Now, I've watched you do Reiki and other people, and it seems like you're pulling out negative energy sometimes. Is that what you're doing?
Yes, and this is why it's very important for the people, the person who's giving the session, it's very important so that they protect themselves before doing the session by applying Reiki to themselves maybe like 10 minutes before the session, putting the symbols on your body and things like that, because what happens is there's a lot of times attachments in your aura, in your energy field, that by channeling the energy, you release those attachments, but you also want to be making sure that those attachments don't get onto you. And it's a very effective way to do it, just applying Reiki to yourself. For those people who want to try or who have read about Reiki, are not certified, they're welcome to try it on their friends and family members, but it's important that they protect themselves before starting the session.
I see. Now, I know from your website you also do Wicca and Earth Magic. Is Reiki related to Wicca and Earth Magic?
Not really, but I find a lot of people who are in the vast majority in the pagan community, they are familiar with Reiki. They practice some form of Reiki because there are different variations of it. But it all goes hand in hand because it's earth energy. It's the life force that brings the healing. So it is a little bit related, but they're two different things.
I see. So are there any other information you want to give out about Reiki? Or
well,
should we talk about some other things you offer on your website? Any last thoughts on Reiki?
Well, it is basically just important to understand that we're just a channel of the divine, that it's not us that do the healing, it's the loving force of God through us. As soon as we keep an attitude, a humble attitude about it, things can go great when it comes to Reiki. I also work with, with tarot, and I do astrology and birth charts and all that kind of stuff. Rituals for cleansing your body that are actually recommended before and after the treatments, the Reiki treatments. You can find it on the website as well under the ritual sections. And again, that's www.magicalpathways.com. And basically, just inform yourself, read a lot, and just remember that we are all instruments of the divine plan. And as soon as we keep an attitude like that, we can see great things happening with Reiki. In all the levels, in the spiritual, the physical, the emotional, the mental, because it brings healing through all levels of existence, not just the physical or the emotional.
Right. I really see you're expert in a lot of different areas, astrology, numerology, and you do dream interpretation too?
That is correct. One of the things that happened with Reiki also is that it opens your crown, your chakras. Your dreams are a lot vivid, and this is part of what got me also into dream interpretation, because there are many, many different messages that are brought through you to you through dreams. Things such as a house, a car, or a bridge can be symbols that are critical for you to understand. And think about what is that the dreams are trying to tell you. For example, if you dream about a car, the car has wheels, and if you're driving, basically it's the way you drive your life. Which direction is your life taking? Hair can be something that has to do with power or vanity. So there are different symbols and different things that definitely need to be taken into account. A dream journal would be a good idea for people to have as well.
Absolutely. And you believe everyone should have a birth chart with their astrology and learn about all the different houses and where their planets are?
Yeah, it is very important. One of the things that I do in my sessions is I try to time in with the moon, where the moon is at. For example, if someone has lower back problems, it's a really good idea to do a healing when the moon is in Libra. If someone has upper back problems, it'll be a great idea to do it when the moon is in Leo, and so on. So it is not essential, but we also always want to go with the current. We want to go with the flow. And we all know that the moon has a lot of influence on us, and it also depends on what sign the moon is in, for what area is going to benefit more in your body. Like if the moon was in Capricorn, to do a healing for your skin would be a great idea during that time as well.
I see. So if people come to you, you may do Reiki with them, you may do numerology, astrology. Each client is different, right?
Right. A lot of times what ends up happening is that my customers that I do tarot for, they end up getting a Reiki session with me because things come up in the readings that they know that they're being affected by. So by applying the tarot, applying the birth chart, analyzing, you know, whether strengths are, where the weak points are, and then I'm applying the Reiki session according to what we see, also in numerology as well, makes it a lot more effective that way.
Okay, as far as numerology, is there a way to add up the letters of your name and find out what number you are and what that means?
The letters of your name is called your expression number, and basically you just add, for example, A has a value of 1, B has a value of 2, and so on. So you add all the letters of your name until it becomes one single digit. That's your expression number. But if you want to find out your life path number, you take all the digits of your birthday and add them until they become one single digit. And it's very, very similar to once you read the description, for example, of the number 9, which is my life path number, and you read the description of Aquarius, which is my sign, they go hand in hand, even though they are totally two different methods of decoding who you really are.
I see. So people can contact you, and you can go through numerology with them, as well as the other services. So it's magicalpathways.com. And you have all kinds of information on your website, Lewis.
magicalpathways.com has dreams, dream interpretation information, numerology, astrology, rituals, magic, a little bit about who I am, Reiki, 2012. So, yeah, there's a lot of information. On the first page, there's also, you can keep track of where the moon is at, what sign is entering, what the sign is that the moon is at, or the sun, and what is happening in the skies as well.
Well, let's all go to Magical Pathways and check it out. Thank you for joining us today, Lewis Vargas.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to wrap up the show, Odyssey. We've had a full show with Matt Kahn, the psychic, and Lewis, the tarot and Reiki master. And I'm Mike Schultz. You can find out all about me, my tarot readings, and my new DVDs, The Sands of Time, at thefountainsofyouth.net. Fountainsofyouth.net. Thank you for joining me on Odyssey. I'm every other Thursday, 9 in the morning and 7 at night. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.